do another count first, please?
Yes, 1 million, 1 million and one, 1 million and 17, 1 million and 27, infinity or eternity.
Okay, you're good, Bill.
That was the sound of the one and only Bill Walton getting mic'd up for a conversation that struggled to be contained by the bounds of a sports podcast and also the earth itself. But first, we turn to another Bill, Bill Barnwell, to explain where a quarterback who struggles to be contained by his employer, Deshaun Watson, might wind up next season. Today, a tale of two Bills, an episode that'll make you smarter and then blow your mind. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, January 29th. This is ESPN Daily. Bill, thank you for joining me for an emergency, very rare Bill Barnwell Friday episode.
It's so nice to do a podcast when it's light outside.
It's very strange. It's very unsettling. Those terms also happen to apply to what's happening with the Houston Texans right now, which is why we are talking here today.
Yes.
And I want to start with their new coach, David Culley, a man I had to frantically Google on Wednesday night. So what do you know about Culley and how does he fit in with what the Texans are doing?
Oof. Well, let me toe a fine line here. Let me talk about David Culley, the person first. By all accounts, he is extremely well-respected, a veteran coach. Everyone who talks about Culley just has good things to say about him as a person. He's a coach of color, which is always great in terms of seeing the league support diversity hiring. And I think that Culley's personality and his temperament kind of lends itself to what the Texans might need after dealing with a abrasive, I don't want to say monster of a person, it might be too harsh, but certainly someone who did not seem to be very well liked within the organization by the time he left in Bill O'Brien.
Mm.
At the same time, though, Pablo.
Yes.
Culley is 65 years old, and that in itself is not disqualifying, but he has not been as much as an offensive coordinator at the NFL level. On the bright side, you might say he's worked under very successful coaches like Bill Cowher, Andy Reid, Sean McDermott, most recently John Harbaugh. But his last job with the Ravens, the job he's leaving now, is as their passing game coordinator. And Pablo, I watched the Ravens pretty closely this year. I would not say that I was blown away by the depth and, complexity of their passing game. So on top of that, I don't believe there were any other teams who gave Culley an interview. You know, maybe you could say that's other teams' mistakes, and we'll certainly find out. Anything can work. But this sort of feels like Culley taking a job that a lot of other people didn't really want.
And the reason why this job might be so undesirable is because Deshaun Watson, their star quarterback, the franchise cornerstone, wants out.
Yes.
We learned that yesterday. Adam Schefter has reported that, in fact, he asked out, Deshaun Watson did, weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I read your piece this past week, Bill, in which you detailed 17 trade proposals for Deshaun Watson. Bill, 17 different proposals.
Pablo, I don't have much of a life. Not sure why that surprises you. We're in the middle of a quarantine. I just sit at home all day. So I'm coming up with random trade proposals anyway. I just happen to write some of these down as opposed to telling my dog who doesn't care.
And I want to start with three of the juicy landing spots you identified. Okay. And the first one I want to start with is outside of the AFC, and it's the San Francisco 49ers. So how could that particular trade unfold?
Any Deshaun Watson deal is probably going to include something in the ballpark of three first-round picks. Quarterbacks cost more than anybody else. So I think you're going to see three first-round picks kind of be the baseline for these deals. And at times, because teams maybe don't want to deal three first-round picks, it might make sense to get a third party involved. And with this Niners trade, that is exactly what happens. The Niners in this deal end up with Deshaun Watson, but the Texans end up with Sam Darnold, who plays for the New York Jets. So this is really two deals in one. First deal is the Niners sending a third-round pick in 2023. Tre'Davious Moore, a backup safety, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Niners are temporarily getting Sam Darnold and a 2022 fifth-round pick. He gets sent back up, sent to the Texans. with the 12th overall pick in 2021, first round pick in 2022, and a second round pick in 2022 as well for Deshaun Watson. Just a classic trade, Pablo, where three NFL starting quarterbacks all move at the same time. Happens all the time in the NFL.
Just first take Christmas is what you just described there, Bill. But let's move into the AFC now and into the AFC East in specific, because the Miami Dolphins are there waiting, hoping perhaps that Deshaun Watson could be their answer to how the quarterback carousel that is Tua Tagovailoa and Ryan Fitzpatrick actually just stopped spinning entirely.
Yes.
How could this work out? Why would Miami be a good fit?
Okay, so Miami, I think, is a really good fit relative to pretty much anyone else in football. There's really only two teams who have the sort of significant draft capital that the Texans would want in a trade where they wouldn't be sacrificing all of their picks in the future. It's the Dolphins and the Jets. The difference is that the Dolphins have enough to offer and are already so close to winning a division that they can make a trade for Deshaun Watson and not sacrifice all of their picks in the process and have no way to access the valuable young talent in the draft. I think the Dolphins are the best positioned team to make a trade. The interesting thing here is that you mentioned Tua Tagovailoa, and I'm not sure the Texans would necessarily know what to do with Tua Tagovailoa. So I don't think the Texans really know all that much about Tua Tagovailoa. I don't think they're really scouting him all that much. So it wouldn't shock me if he headed again to a third team and we had a three-team trade. In this case, a team that does need a young, cheap quarterback, the Chicago Bears, who would get Tua Tagovailoa in return for the 20th overall pick in this year's draft, a fourth rounder in 2022, and a conditional pick in 2023, depending on how Deshaun Watson does and how Tua Tagovailoa performs. Now, that would give the Dolphins a lot to send to the Houston Texans. Three first rounders and a second round pick and a fourth round pick. And in return, they would get Deshaun Watson. They would get Senio Kelemetse, a guard who would help them, and a third round pick in 2022. So a lot to give up. But for the Dolphins, they get Deshaun Watson as a plug-and-play option at quarterback and still have their own first-round pick next year. They have a lot to work with in the years to come. I think the Dolphins would be a Super Bowl favorite, or maybe not the absolute favorite, but I think one of the four or five top teams to win the Super Bowl if they made that trade.
Oh, but hold on. I want to get even messier here, okay, Bill, and let's stick in the AFC East, because the other team that you have to mention when you talk about the story of how the Texans got so dysfunctional, of course, is the New England Patriots, who missed the playoffs this season for the first time in forever.
Yes.
Cam Newton was not good. I think that's a fair statement.
Sure.
How is it that Deshaun Watson could join Bill Belichick the Patriots?
Okay. So whenever I think about the Patriots and what they're going to do this offseason, I'm reminded of what our colleague Seth Wickersham wrote about the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. There's a quote in there I think that's very telling. If we trade Jimmy, according to one person within the Patriots organization, we're the Cleveland Browns with no succession plan. Since that article has been published, a lot's changed. The Browns appear to have a succession plan, and the Patriots do not. They have a lot of veteran talent on this roster, and they want to win over the next 3 or 4 years. So I think it makes sense for the Patriots to kind of sell out, trade for Watson, cut the line when it comes to contention, and immediately get back atop the AFC East. And the deal that I think would make sense is this. So two first-round picks, a second-round pick, a third-round pick, and a star cornerback, J.C. Jackson, who is a restricted free agent, but a guy who had 9 interceptions this year, a star cornerback for a Texans team that has spent the last decade or so desperately trying to solve their cornerback situation for a star quarterback. But Pablo, here's my only issue with this trade. I want you to imagine this deal from the perspective of a Houston Texans fan. You have seen your organization get ripped apart by former Patriots in Bill O'Brien and team chaplain Jack Easterby. Cal McNair, the owner's solution, was to promote a former Patriots assistant to interim coach in Romeo Crennel, and then hire another former Patriots executive and general manager in Nick Kasarian.
That's right.
On top of all of that, Pablo, imagine if that organization then traded Deshaun Watson to the Patriots. I would say that under normal circumstances, that would be too much to bear. An organization would not be willing to do that to their fans. But these are the Texans, and anything It's on the table for the Texans after the past 2 years.
Bill Barnwell, I am reeling from all of the accounting I just did. We'll talk to you next Sunday after the Super Bowl.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, up next, my journey deep, deep, deep into the mind of Bill Walton.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So we live in strange, strange times. A time of chaos, a time of institutional upheaval. And in fact, time itself seems to be an illusion lately, or a hallucination. Somehow moving both slower and faster, forward and backward, as we all still try to keep indoors. So I sought out the only broadcaster, the only Hall of Famer, really the only human being I could think of whose brain might be undaunted by all of these extreme conditions. I sought out the closest thing ESPN has ever had to a sports shaman, Bill Walton. Bill, are you there?
Hello!
I'm in New York. I'm standing in my wife's closet where I record ESPN Daily. Where are you?
You're in your wife's closet. If you can promise me that you're in your wife's closet. My wife just came out of her closet. So here, let me reposition myself quickly and maybe we can have something really, really strange, because when things get strange, that's when they get really good.
I have never felt more cosmically connected to anybody than I do right now talking to you, Bill Walton. Do you know, by the way, Bill, if I can just jump in here for a second, do you know that you're my favorite ESPN employee?
Really? You need to set your standards higher, Pablo. I am very, very lucky to have spent my adult life in the Conference of Champions, because there's nothing like it. I get to go to the coolest places in the world. I get to go to Los Angeles. I get to go to Tucson and Tempe. I get to go to Salt Lake City. I get to go to Boulder. I get to go to Berkeley and Stanford and Eugene and Corvallis and Washington State and Seattle. And what a season it's turning out to be, unlike any other. But that's what will make it most memorable. With the efforts that everybody's putting in to make it happen and to keep it going. This might be an illusion, but we might as well try. Because if we don't try, we're going to look back later on in life, Pablo, and we're going to say, man, we should have just gone for it right there. Pablo, you're a very young guy. I mean, you still spend time in your wife's closet.
I do.
When you get old and in the way like I am, you think of all the things that you tried to do, but only did halfway. And the things that have been left undone, those are the things that keep me awake at night.
Bill, I'm curious, when you are in fact doing the job that you do from home these days, socially distanced, remotely, all of that, and you're getting to watch college basketball, high-level college basketball. Gonzaga, for instance, is terrific this year. What brings you joy from what you're seeing? What parts of this season, who in this season has brought you joy as a fan of the game?
I've been able to watch this year, because of the pandemic, I've been able to watch more sports than really ever before in my life. Let's just talk generally as opposed to this season. First of all, you start with the guys at the top, Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, and John Calipari. And then the guys just always knocking on their door, Jay Wright and Tom Izzo, and then Tony Bennett, what he's done. Now, those are all places in a foreign land. I mean, that's, you know, that's east of the Rockies. Let's just start with Mark Few, you know, at the top here in the West.
Mark Few. Number one team is 10-0.
The Gonzaga Bulldogs are a very special team.
To be able to to build, to develop, to inspire, to create what he has done. It is embarrassing that Mark Few is not already in the Basketball Hall of Fame. But the way that the Zags play, you know, I love the zig and I love the zag of life. That's one of the reasons why I just love and immerse myself in sports, music, and reading, and plants. You know, those are my hobbies.
I have dozens of plants in my apartment, Bill, just for the record. I'm a big caretaker of foliage and horticulture. And it brings me peace. I don't meditate, but that part brings me peace.
Well, you know, peace comes in many forms. I get a lot of peace from riding my bike. I get a lot of peace from going in the weight room. Yeah, I get a lot of peace from just looking at my incredible wife and our six children and our 16 grandchildren. Wow. 14 grandchildren, excuse me, 14. I lost track.
Speaking of peace, Bill, I did want to talk to you about a part of modern sports culture that you were way, way ahead of. And I'm not even sure people realize fully that when you were a junior at UCLA in the 70s, you were the biggest man on campus, you were starring on the basketball team, you sat in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard and protested against the Vietnam War, and you actually got arrested. What do you remember about that specific day?
That day was a peace rally that was disrupted by the forces of evil. It was a grand celebration of life and peace and love. And it was a reaction as we all came together to try to stop the madness that had just kept coming down through Nixon and the war machine and the corruption and the cronyism and all the different forces of evil that were sending the world in the wrong direction. So we gathered, and while we were emanating peace, love, hope, optimism, and a better tomorrow. Yes, the forces of evil, they swirled around us and they came in, and things went downhill from there.
Bill, I do think it's worth further clarifying here that at the time, you were part of the best college basketball program we have ever seen. You just won one of your three straight National College Player of the Year awards. You were the first person to ever do that. And you get arrested because you're protesting in the street. And I've read that it was actually your coach, the legendary John Wooden, who had to bail you out. What did John Wooden say to you? What was that whole episode like? Because, Bill, John Wooden is not the countercultural figure that you were and are.
Pablo, you couldn't be more wrong. I'm as mainstream as they come. And Coach Wooden was this radical, crazed person who was upset as can be. Now, this was not a comfortable situation at all, because he was always mad at me, always. I mean, I was his easiest recruit. I became his worst nightmare, and I drove the poor guy to an early grave at 99. But here was a guy who was very sincere in his efforts to make the world better. And he tried his best, and I failed him, and I let him down. And he was particularly displeased and angry with me on that day. The only other time that came close was when we were giving a big, giant corporate speech together on stage in unison at Staples Center with 25,000 people in attendance, and I gave out his home phone number. He did not like that. But on this day in the car ride home, he was in my face talking to me about my responsibilities and my duties and how I'm letting everybody down. Finally, I just said, you know, Coach, it's all fine and good that you think that way, but these are my friends. These are my classmates. These are my peers who are coming home from Southeast Asia in body bags and wheelchairs. And I'm not about to just say that everything is fine and we'll work this out later. Never forget that it's not how far we have come, it's how much further we still have to go. When too many people are still telling athletes, musicians, to shut up and dribble and shut up and play, I mean, that's not the way life is.
So I'm curious, Bill, if you ever go back and watch highlights of yourself, because you are considered, point blank, one of the greatest, if not the single greatest, college basketball player of all time. And You were also an NBA MVP, a two-time NBA champion, a finals MVP, but your pro career got cut short famously by injuries. Do you ever go back and see just your tape of when you were on the court? And do you ever think about what could have been?
No, I don't do that. That's not my thing. I consider myself very fortunate. I played for some of the most remarkable coaches in history. I played on some of the most special and unique teams in history. I like to be a part of something. I want to be a part of something good, of something great, of something special. And those events, those moments, they are the result of the choices that we make. I chose to go to UCLA. I'm glad they took me. I'm glad they allowed me to stay. You know, I chose to go to Portland, and I wish it had, you know, lasted longer. I chose to go to the Celtics. I chose to go to the Clippers, and, you know, that didn't work out. But I tried my best. John Wooden, he never talked about winning. He rarely talked about basketball. And he would always say, the only thing I ask is that you do your best. Your best will be good enough. Whatever it is, don't cheat yourself. Don't shortchange yourself. Because those are the worst kind of defeats you'll ever suffer, where you beat yourself. And I've been beating myself up for a lot of years for not getting it done out there. But success is the peace of mind that comes with the self-satisfaction of knowing that you've done your best.
Coming up, Bill Walton trains his third eye on life, the universe, and everything.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
One of the things I love about my Pandora is that I don't know what's coming up next. It's the shuffle. But somehow, some way, the shuffle knows what I need. You know, I like people.
As one would expect, as the interview with Bill went on, we floated further and further away from anything even resembling rails, so I decided to try and match his energy frequency, and I began to ask him the hard-hitting questions, like about the stuff he has in his backyard. Well, I was curious, now that we're just getting into it, I'm curious when you got your teepee.
Okay, so my teepee. I am a huge believer in the first Americans, the people who were here before we got here. You know, I grew up in an area that San Diego is ringed by a lot of Native American tribes. The big overarching family tribe here in San Diego is the Kumeyaays. There's lots of different ones. There's Barona and there's Sequan. We all went to school together, we played together, we fought together, it was just our lives. It was fantastic. Anyway, so, here we were. What was the question again? I got off track there.
It was just, when did you get it? When did you get the teepee that you're describing?
So I moved to Oregon to play for the Blazers, and one of the first things I did when I got to Oregon, we took a tour of Oregon. We went down to the U.S. Geological Service office in downtown Portland. And we got a map of all the natural hot springs in the state of Oregon. And we went around and with the goal, the purpose, to take a soak in every natural hot springs in the state of Oregon.
Wow.
I was hiking up this river valley somewhere near the Oregon coast. And it was, you know, it's kind of rainy, misty, fog, beautiful sunshine, rainbows, calliopes, clowns, elk, eagles, beavers, fish jumping. I mean, it was like spectacular. And I looked up on the hillside as I came around the bend, and there, you know, halfway up the side of the hill, it was this teepee. And I said, whoa, this, you know, what's this and who's in there? I got up halfway up the hill, and this guy comes stumbling out and starts yelling and screaming at me, who are you and what do you want? And I said, oh, I'm just admiring your teepee, man. It's the coolest thing ever. That young man, his name is Jeb, and he and his wife, Nicole, they have tipi.com, T-I-P-I.com. One of the two coolest websites ever. Bob Dylan's website is very cool, too.
So, Bill, the tipi is in your backyard, right? And what do you do there? When do you find yourself wanting to retreat into the tipi?
Well, I go there all the time. It's just right over there. I move. I love to move. I love being alive. I'm on the move. And I don't ever like to sit down. I don't ever like to wait. I don't ever like to waste anything, energy, money, time, you name it. I like to fill it up. And so I'm on the move, and I stop and spend time in the teepee every day. And there's a lot going on in there, too. It's a very curious place. I'm sure it's much different than your wife's closet.
I feel like we might have some commonalities in terms of how much we get accomplished inside of our respective TP and closet. But I'm fascinated, Bill.
Hold on a second. Most of the things that I get accomplished are in my mind. I'm trying to get to the point in my life when I can actualize, when I can realize, when I can develop all the things that go on in my mind. I'm working on a new app, and it's got a bunch of features right now. You know how when you're out there and you have your phone and you can point it at the night sky and it'll tell you what the constellation is you're staring at, and you're walking through a beautiful place with all kinds of incredible plants. I love plants. And you can point the phone right at the plant, tell you what it is. Well, that's the identification feature that I've got right now that I'm working on with this app. And then I've also got a translation feature. There's many more features still to come, but this is a work in progress like everything in my life. And what was your question again? I'm sorry, sir.
Bill, I'm curious if there is a memory when you're feeling less than ideal on a given day. Is there a memory, a happy memory that you relive or return to in specific that sort of helps you be buoyed and brings you back to where you want to be?
Yes, and that's called meditation.
I need help with meditation, Bill. I need help because I'm somebody who intellectually understands the value of meditation, but I have yet to successfully do it. So please advise me on meditation.
You need a better teacher.
I do.
It's all about the teacher. And so I'm happy to try to help you out there. But, well, you know, what I try to do is, you know, try to create an environment of happiness, of joy. And, you know, happiness is a result. It's not something that you walk over to the wall and pull it off the shelf or turn the switch. Happiness is a result of your health, of your love of your family, group, or team, your safe place, your sanctuary. You have whether it's your home, whether it's your teepee, whether it's your bicycle, whether it's the beach, or whether it's your wife's closet. And so as you search, and I hear in your voice, I hear the pain. Sounds like you're hanging from a hanger in your wife's closet. And you're stuck. You're stuck in this world that is just not of your liking. And if you're having trouble meditating and you're not finding your way, then please go in and find a new teacher. And, well, you know, a great place to find a teacher unfortunately is not available right now. But when you go on tour with the Grateful Dead, that is a great place to find. I mean, I remember when the very first time I went, and I had no idea what I was getting into, which is fine. I mean, that's basically every day of my life. But I went there. I went with nothing. And I left with everything. Although I never really left. And I'm still going. And I wait for the day when the tour starts up again. Imagine what the first show is going to be like. We have no idea when it's going to be. We have no idea where it's going to be. The only thing we know is that when they do announce, I am going to do everything I can to be there early and to stay late. Because I know that much like this show, which started in a woman's closet, it's going to open up our hearts and our minds and our souls as we head to the promised land, to the top of the mountain. We do know that for those of us who will be fortunate enough to be in attendance, that when they come out to take that stage, how many tears will be streaming down our cheeks. Not of sadness, but tears of hope, tears of joy, of optimism, of peace and love, and all the things that we try to embody in our everyday life. Now, what was your question again?
Bill Walton, a wise man once told me that once in a while you get shown the light in the strangest of places if you look at it right. Thank you for being the light in my wife's closet for me today.
I just hope you're able to find your way out of the darkness.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tumanello, and Aaron Vail. Special thanks this week to Max Brodsky, Stacey Pressman, Letitia Cahey, Jared Baker, Sania Blue, Andres Soto, happy birthday, Andres, Troy Farkas, and Jackson Udjulo. I'll talk to you Monday.